If you'd like to go to the theme verse, Romans chapter 10, that's where we're going to start. It's a real blessing for me to be here, to be able to share God's word with such great people. It's a privilege for us to be able to share God's word anywhere with anyone at any time. But I'm especially thankful to be able to share God's word tonight. Romans chapter 10 and in verse 17, God's word says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's such a great verse. And as I was thinking about this verse, knowing that I had the privilege of sharing God's word tonight, when I look at a verse, I look at the words in the verse that interest me or that I would like to know a little more about. And there were three words in this verse particularly that I wanted to know a little more about or look up a little more. And one was faith, one was hearing, and the other one was the word of God. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word faith, as most of you know, or many of you know, in the Greek is the Greek word pistis. Dr. E.W. Bullinger described this word or defined this word as a firm persuasion. Firm persuasion. He defined it as believing. He defined it as the conviction which is based upon hearing. The conviction which is based upon hearing. It's a firmly relying confidence in what we hear from God and His Word. And you know, my note is written or spoken, if God would speak to you or if it's written in God's word. So that's what Bullinger described this wonderful word pistis as, a firmly relying confidence in what we hear from God and His word, a firm persuasion, okay, a conviction which is based on hearing. You can't do anything unless you hear about it somehow. Strong's defines this wonderful word faith or pistis as a conviction of the truth of anything. And it's belief regarding anything. And then he said, in Strong's it says, regarding God, it's belief with the idea of trust and confidence. It's belief with the idea of trust and confidence. It's confidence, trust, or belief on one who can be relied on. It's confidence, trust, and belief in someone who can be relied on. And certainly as we approach God's word, we know that we can rely on God. So regarding this teaching, that's what this is about, believing God. Noah Webster, which, do we have any of those in the bookstore? No, we're out. Boy, that's a great dictionary. If you ever get the opportunity to get that one, it's really wonderful. But he defined faith as the assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another. It's the assent of the mind. It's the recognition in the mind to the truth that what is declared by somebody. It's the judgment of what another states or testifies is the truth. And I think of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John 17, in verse 17, where he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is what?" That's what Jesus said, and Jesus was tempted in all ways and yet without sin. So he described truth as God's word as he prayed that wonderful prayer in John 17, talked things over with God. But it's the judgment of what another states or testifies is the truth. And Dr. Victor Paul Werwill, in the foundational class on Power for Abundant Living, very simply stated it, confidence, trust, faith, which issues in believing, and believing equals receiving. That's kind of like break it down. And that's what it is. It's confidence, trust, and believing, faith. And it issues in believing, and believing equals receiving. So when I look at this word faith, it's a firm persuasion. You're convinced. You're convicted. You are sure. You are sure. It's not a guessing thing. It's not a desire to want to. It is something that you're certain of. It's something that you're convicted, that you are relying upon. It's confidence. It's total confidence. It's total trust. How many of you are not sitting on your chair? Did you think about it? No, you didn't. You just sat on a chair thinking that, and we were praying that some of these chairs would hold you up because, quite honestly, these chairs are not in too good a shape. But you had confidence. You had trust in a stupid chair. And it held you up. Guess what? It held you up. You didn't doubt, did you? Well, we're going to get into God's Word and look about that. How about that? How about that? Matthew chapter 8. Yeah, Steve introduced some people from other places, and that is fantastic. You know, I get tickled seeing people from everywhere. It's just great. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to look at this word faith just a little bit, this word pistis. This isn't a 17-part teaching on it. It's just a brief overview, okay? Don't get nervous. See how the researcher's going, what's he going to say new? Nothing. So get over it. Chapter 8, verse 5, it says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. A centurion was someone that was in charge of 100 people. That's the word century, 100. He was in charge of 100 military people type. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. So this man, this centurion man, came to Jesus Christ, and he had a need. It wasn't a need for him, but he loved his people. Good servant, good leader is a good servant. And they care about their people. They care what goes on in their hearts. When your heart aches, their heart aches. When you have needs, they got needs. When you're bugged, they're bugged. When you're blessed, they're blessed. It's just the way the body is, kind of, you know? But this centurion had one of his men who had a tremendous need, and he came to Jesus Christ. Good idea. And Jesus saith unto him, I'll come and heal him. Where are we going? Let's go. I'll come and do it. Let's get it done. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only. Speak the word only. Speak the word only. And my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority. Having soldiers under me, I say to this man, go, he goes. To another, come, he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Boy, this guy knew very well about leadership. He knew when he gave a command, those people would do it. When he said jump, they didn't ask how high they jumped. So he said, speak the word only. My servant will be healed. I know what it's like to lead. Come, do this, do that. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Faith. I haven't seen such great firm persuasion. I haven't seen such conviction based upon hearing. This man obviously had heard that Jesus Christ could heal people because that's why he went to him. He went to him, said, heal him. And Jesus said, I'll come. Show me where he is. Nah, just speak the word, Jesus. Just speak the word. That's some kind of man. And Jesus' response is, I haven't seen this great of believing anywhere. I haven't seen this kind of persuasion. I haven't seen this conviction of the truth of what I'd said about anything. I haven't seen this confidence. I haven't seen this trust. I haven't seen this firm persuasion. No, that's quite a statement from Jesus Christ. This is that word faith. I haven't seen it. He believed the word that he had heard about Jesus Christ. He had heard something about Jesus Christ regarding Jesus Christ that indicated to him that he had the ability and many times, of course, the willingness to heal anybody. You know? So based on what he had heard, he was convicted. He knew that this servant would be healed. And if you keep going, if you go down to verse, let's go to verse something. Oh, yeah. Verse 13, it says, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. And as thou hast believed, as thou hast what? Believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed the very hour. The person got healed. He got healed. He got healed. Romans 10:17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This believing, this firm persuasion, this confidence, this trust comes by hearing. Do you know that we have 14 children here under the age of one? I've decided in a new witnessing program, it's get your wife pregnant. That's it. Saves time, sometimes some money. You get a little nervous. You know what I'm saying. That's a good idea. Teach them the word at home. Never leave your home. Just stay home. Have babies. Romans 10:17 says, so faith cometh by hearing. That was the second word that interested me. I'm not going to elaborate too fully because there's going to be another sharing on hearing, evidently. But I will give you the definitions. Dr. Bollinger says, it's the faculty of hearing. You can go to Romans 10:17 and look at it if you want to. If you don't, that's okay. It's the faculty of hearing. It's to perceive with the ears. And it's to really listen to so as to be informed. In other words, you really want to know. Yeah, it's really listening. It's not passive listening, which I think our world has gotten better and better at being very passive in their listening so they can get back to the internet. And it's pay attention listening. It's like listening because you want to learn something. Listening because you want to hear what is being said. Noah Webster, his third definition, some of these dictionaries have 72 definitions. I'm going to give you one of them. It's, I think, the third one. It means to attend. It means to listen and obey. And it means to regard. You know, to attend, to regard, to obey, to listen to the point that you really want to hear. Matthew chapter 4, being that we're in the neighborhood, let's go to Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verse 23 and 24, it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee. Now, I don't know how big Galilee is. You know, we read these verses too quick. I mean, I don't know how far in Galilee he went or not, but, you know, Jesus went about all Galilee. He's doing some moving, doing some walking. I bet you those guys had strong legs back then. I think about that every year when I come here and my calves are killing me. That'd be a billy goat around here. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He did two things here. It says he taught, and it says he preached. So as he was going about all Galilee, he was teaching and he was preaching the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease amongst the people. You see, even in this verse, the healing was precipitated. It came as a result of people hearing the word of God that was taught and that was preached by Jesus Christ. Healing comes from hearing the word. It's the greatest healing in the world. Love of God, the word of God, gee whiz. I expect people who have need here will be so delivered because of the word of God preached and taught. And because of the people that are here are listening with an intent to obey, to receive, to get what is fully available to us as believers. I look so forward to these things because I get to hear the word too like you guys. Oh, I just get so blessed. I take more notes than you. I don't know. Jason has a computer. He cheats, so I don't know. Jason always has his desk set up somewhere. But he taught and he preached. Those are two things he did. The result of the teaching and the preaching was healing in this place of Galilee. Verse 24, and his fame went throughout all Syria. That word fame is the word hearing. They heard about him. They heard about him. They heard about his healing. They heard about his preaching. They heard about his teaching. Hey, did you hear what Jesus taught? You can't believe what he shared in Galilee. And do you know there were people there that were healed? I can't tell you. I can hardly wait to see him, because his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases, torments, those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatics, and those that had the palsy. And he did what? He healed them. Why? Because they heard about Jesus Christ. They heard about his teaching. They heard about his preaching. And whatever it is that they heard, it really helped them to believe God, didn't it? It did. Well, whether you think so or not. He first taught, and then he preached God's word. Romans 10:17, there it is. Faith cometh by hearing. Believing comes by hearing with an intent that you really want to know, and that you really want to do what you hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by one thing, the word of God. That's what happened. And it built their believing here in Syria to the end that they got healed. Go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John 5. I got so blessed today. There were, I don't know, by the time it was said and done, there were over 70 people here all day helping, working. So that when you guys hit the door, man, you'd get so love bombed that you didn't know what hit you. Love bomb. That's a good bomb. That's a good bomb. The love bomb. John 5, verse 5. It says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. How many of you in here are younger than 38? Raise your hand. Raise it loud. Be proud of that. Look at that. Bless your heart. Wow. So, some of you are younger than that, but this guy had an infirmity for 38 years. He was sick for 38 years. I imagine that would be annoying. I've learned through the years that men like to whine. Women, can I get a testify over him? You ever notice a man that whined? No? Yeah, then you don't know me. But man, whine, whine, whine. Complain, complain, complain. It happens. And a certain man was there, and he had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? What a question to ask. Do you have the will to be whole? Do you have the will to be whole? 38 years this guy probably wanted to be whole. He probably got tired of the fight. Yet this impotent man answered him and said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed, and he did what? And it was the wrong day of the week for those Jewish believers there. Man was sick for 38 years, and he got healed. So let's read on. The Jews, therefore, were not happy, and they said unto him that was cured, it's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. This guy was sick for 38 years. What'd they do to help him on the six good days that they could work? They didn't see nothing. Man, if you had a kid or if you had a relative or a close loved one, and they'd been sick for this length of time, would you care? Really? Would you care when they got healed? I don't think so. So, the Jews therefore said, it's wrong day. So verse 11 says, he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. And they said, well, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? Who are you talking about? And he, this man who had an infirmity for 38 years was healed, wist not who it was. He didn't know who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away in a multitude being in that place. Jesus just left. Job was done. The guy was healed. He was gone. They said, who was this? He said, I don't know. He left. He's gone. But guess what Jesus did? Because he's loving, and this is a tremendous example. Afterward, Jesus findeth him. You know what it takes to find someone? Looking. So he looked for him. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. What an awesome man. He healed him, he knew it, but something told him, he better go look for this guy. And Jesus findeth him in the temple. It reminds me of the Gospel of John chapter 9. The man that was born blind. Let's go there real quick. It's real quick. John 9. It's only a few pages over. You're not that tired. Get some finger aerobics. John 9. This was the record of the man that was born blind, and his parents were afraid, and he got a hard time from his neighbors. He got a hard time from the religionists, and he got a hard time from his parents even. They were afraid because they were going to get thrown out. And so he gives it back to these guys. In verse 35, after all is said and done, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he had found him, he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And of course, he went and found him too, back in John chapter 5. Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come to thee. And it's something, this record. It's very interesting. The Jews sought the more to kill him, it says in 18. In verse 19 it says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Look at this. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. What he sees the Father do, he can do. For whatsoever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. What does see God do, I can do. What we see God do, I can do. That's what Jesus said. And the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. John 14:12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. What's the rest of it? The works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works than these shall I do, because I go unto who? So, we can do the same thing. We look at the Word of God. We see what Jesus Christ did. We listen to what he said. We see what he did. And we can do the same thing. Right? Yeah. I can do all things through who? Christ. Amen to that, man. He that believeth on me. Look at verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that, again, heareth my word, listens, pays attention, and believeth on him, that's faith, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He heareth my word and believe my word. There it is again. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. This isn't rocket science. This is very simple. But it's a decision that we need to make in our lives and prioritize in our lives so that we can see the things come to pass in our lives that Jesus Christ did, that Paul did, others did. We can do these things, man, and do. I was talking to Kate. She saw somebody healed of pancreatic cancer and what was that other thing? Is Kate Williams still here? What was the other thing? Parkinson's. Just fantastic. Recently, there was somebody who got healed here, was supposed to go in for surgery, back surgery, spine was totally aligned, got totally healed. Fantastic truth. Somebody had his platelets down to 5,000, which is, that's not good. And now they're up to 560,000. God heals people. He heals people. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what God's word says. Go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, please. It's such a thrill just to know that God's word is true and that it works for whoever believes it. Matthew 7, and in verse 24, please. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, he'll be like a wise man that builds his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it didn't fall. For it was founded upon a what? And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man. One was wise because he heard and did. The other one was foolish because he didn't hear and he didn't do. That's pretty simple. And it came to pass, verse 28, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. They were always astonished at his doctrine. Go to Ephesians, I think. But it said heareth, which is listen, to attend to obey, man, and to do the word. Whoever listens, attends, or obeys God's word, they're going to be like that person who builds his house upon a rock, where the winds come, the storms of life nail you, and you stand. Ephesians chapter 6. The epistle of Ephesians definitely instructs us to be this way in our lives as believers, but it comes as a result of listening, attending to, and hearing God's word to the end that we do it. Ephesians 6:10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the methods of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's not our fight. It's not our fight. The adversary, so oftentimes, he just tries to couch it like that's the fight. Who said? She said. They did. We did. We do more. You do less. Icky, icky. Man, doesn't that hurt you when you hear things like that? Even if they're true, it doesn't profit our hearts. Sometimes we need to know right from wrong. I get that. I understand that. I'm not talking about being dummy. But, man, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's not our fight. Stop it. Forget about it. But against principalities, that's it, and powers. Who causes these things? Principalities and powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness or wicked spirits in high places. Oh, spirits cause these things. That's who causes division. That's who makes people hate each other. It's almost a miracle of God that around 400 people could be sitting in the same room these days around the greatness of God's word. And that's a testimony to your lives and to your hearts. It's fantastic. It's a blessing. It's a real blessing. Should be that way all over the place. Our fight is the adversary. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. You'll need it. You ever hear that? We do. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all stand. To having done all stand. Stand therefore. You know who that's talking to? Me. Jerry Carr, stand. Dan Chatton, stand. Eric Federline, stand. Michelle Genovese, you stand. Hey. Swifty, stand. One thing we can't do for one another is believe for each other. We can pray, And we can do that, and we can pray for people when they are sick and stuff. But really, we're responsible to stand. I can't stand for you. You can't stand for me. Stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and let your feet and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith or believing, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of the saints. Jesus Christ declared in the gospel that this man who attended to, listened to, and who obeyed God's word would be like a man, a wise man that built his house on a rock. The church epistles that are written to us say that we are to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, that we're to pray, that we're to watch, that we're to attend to these words in our administration now. When we hear somebody who tells us what to do in our life, you know what we do? We either do it or we don't do it, right? I mean, isn't that so? We either listen or we don't. Like, I don't know if you know this, I studied Shakespeare in college. And he's the one who stated it, to believe or not to believe. No? Well, he should have stated that. Look, we either do it or we don't. We either stand and put on the whole armor of God or we don't. But we can't say that God didn't tell us in his word that that's what we should do. And it's written to every one of you and me in here, every one of us. And that's what we ought to do because there's profit to it. So we either listen or we don't listen when somebody tells us what to do. We need God's word to be able to stand, and we need each other. Don't you ever think anybody that's a believer is expendable. Then talk to God how expendable they are. He's going to be there at the gathering, that one you can't stand. He'll probably be your bunkmate. I don't know anything about it. I just know there's no more tears, no more sorrow. I'm fine with my knowledge of the hope. He's coming back, and it's going to be forever, and that's okay with me. He'd come right now. But, you know, we got to know God's word. We need God's word if we're going to stand. And, of course, that takes knowing it a little bit and takes knowing what we've been freely given. We get born again by confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Then, once we get born again, we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ in every one of us here that's born again. And with that, in 1 Corinthians 2:12, I'll just read it to you. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. That, and that word that's really important. Here's the reason. The reason you got the Spirit of God, the reason you got it, that ye might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. Holy moly. Man, what do you want? Pizza? I mean, God wants us to know as a result of what we've been freely given. The world just builds works. They talk about works. Religion talks about works. You know what I have to do? Go to heaven. Outside of that, I don't have to do a bloody thing. You could tell me what I have to do all day long, and I could go, nope, ain't doing it. I'll do it if I want to do it. You can't make me do it. That was a takeoff on the old song, You Can't Make Me Doubt It. Just kidding. But it includes all, we need to know what's freely been given to us to stand. We're righteous. We're redeemed. We're complete. We have access. Our need is supplied. Health, strength, soundness of mind, peace, grace, mercy, fellowship with God. Good Lord. just amongst some. Then we got to know God's promises. We got to know what God's made available by knowing what's available, how to receive it, and what to do with it after you got it. We need to know what God's word says he promises. And then as we learn what he's promised, we hear it, we listen attentively, and we do it. We walk out on it because we know who the author of this stuff is. It's not me, it's not you, it's God, who happens to be perfect. And within this also, the other things we need to know, if we want to really walk and to hear, is the operation of the manifestations of the Spirit. Tongues with interpretation, prophecy. Those are utterance manifestations, things that can be spoken. We need word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, to be able to walk in situations that are humanly impossible for you to know what to do, and God lets you know what to do, and then tells you how to do it, lets you know if there's any spirits involved. If there's spirits involved, what are they, and whether you could cast them out or not. Then he gives us these great power manifestations of believing, miracles, and gifts of healings. These are all part of the package that is made available to us once we're born again in God's Spirit, to every single person, not just that guy. That guy is really a great believer. You're a great believer. You got the same thing I got. I don't have any more than you. Don't give that to me. That's too much pressure for me. I don't want it. I'm no better than you, and you're no better than me. We're God's family. We have a word. We've been freely given us so many things. We have all these wonderful promises, and we have power. We're not powerless people. We have the power that created the heavens and the earth. That's more powerful than a bazooka or an MRI. No way. What's more powerful than that, too? I don't know. IED. You know, the military has so many abbreviations. And I always go, oh, yeah. I read books, you know, and I see these things. And I go, oh, yeah. I have no idea what it's talking about. But we got more power than that. We do. We have more power than the adversary. Claim it. So this is a solid foundation. This is what we need to have in our life. If we can know those things, if we can learn about those things, what we've been freely given, the promises of God and the manifestations of the Spirit, if we can learn about those, listen to them, be attentive to them, and learn how to manifest, man, we've got it made in the shade, sipping lemonade. It's a good life. Life really gets good when you live in the supernatural. It's true. Confidence in what we hear from God's word. That's how we get confidence. And we can be strong in the Lord because we can totally accept what we've been freely given. We can totally accept every promise. We can totally accept that we have been given 9 manifestations of the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For this cause... 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, when they received what? What you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. They were so thankful to God for these wonderful believers because when they heard them speak, they didn't receive it like, oh, it's Paul or it's, you know, Mr. Thessalonian. No, just kidding. Or Barnabas or any of these great men. But they received it as in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. They were so thankful for these believers because they believed. They believed God's word. They listened. They listened and they did what the word said, what was shared. This word of God effectually worked in those that believe. How? They heard it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how believing happens. They heard it, they did it, they saw it. They listened, they obeyed, they did what God's word said, and they didn't receive it passively. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. Verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Boy, that's an interesting word. I have to share that. It's to charm. It's to place under a spell. It's to mislead or fascinate someone with magic. These are spirits. That's what does that. Devil spirits. They fascinate you. They whoo, they put a spell on you and stuff like that. Or, you know, not you, but these Galatians. And they were called foolish. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath done this to you, that you should not obey the truth? That's what they were doing. They were just getting people away from obeying the truth. And that's what the adversary does. He'll use any means necessary to try to get you or me away from believing the word of God. He tries hard. You shouldn't obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, how did we receive the Spirit? By the works of the law? Was it the works of the law?
No.
But the hearing of faith. We heard the word and we believed it and we got born again. That's how we got the Spirit. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Are we so stupid that how we got born again, we got everything that we ever needed in our whole life, and now we're going to try to be perfect in the flesh? That's a great question. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he do it by the works of the law or the hearing of what? Yeah. In Reverend Cummins' Working Translation, he does a great job with this. In verse 2, what he said was the hearing of faith, pistis, believing, faith. The hearing of believing is a concise phrase used to refer to the believing that comes by hearing the word of God, as mentioned in Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. That's the hearing of believing is the concise phrase used to refer to the believing that comes by hearing the word of God, as mentioned in Romans 10. Thus, well, now it's beyond me. The genitive of faith may be understood as a genitive of relation. Hearing to the end of believing. I go for the end of that. Hearing to the end of believing. That's what those other things mean, genitive relations. So, again, verse 5 basically says the same thing. Means hearing to the end, that the result is believing. You hear the word, you believe it. That's it. We got born again by hearing the word to the end that we believed it. We see God's promises come to pass by hearing God's word to the end that we believe it. It's very, very simple, and it is simple. We operate the manifestations the same way, hearing to the end of believing. It's fantastic. What it is that we should hear to the end of believing? God's word. It's that simple. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know why it's so hard for people sometimes? Is because they're so complicated. Hearing to the end of believing. When Dr. Werwell taught Living Victoriously, one of the teachings was called Living Victoriously in Christ's Name. And this is what so frequently happens to many of us. Look at verse 150, page 150. What a contrast. On the one hand is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. On the other hand is the man who trusts in God, and he's referring to Jeremiah 17, and he is like a tree planted by the waters. For the most part today, men's believing is in man, and they honor man with their lips. Their confession is not that the word of God is truth, but that man and his word, rather than the word of God, are truth. Thus they honor God with their lips, but they trust in the arm of flesh with all their heart. Mental assent to the truth of God's word is perhaps the most dangerous enemy that the Christian could have, because mental assent to the truth of God's word looks and sounds so religious. It even goes so far as to say, sure, I believe in the Bible. I'm standing for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Yet the mental assenter never literally acts upon God's word. They do not give God's word its rightful place. They do not give God's word its rightful place. They merely talk about its inherent accuracy and its inherent integrity. The greatest battle in your life, and this will be shared later, will always be the integrity and accuracy of God's word. You may have often wondered why it's so difficult, so hard to believe God. The reason is that we live and are surrounded by an entirely antagonistic world. And the atmosphere of this world is presided over by devil spirits who control men. Since his believing is basically unbelief, attempting to receive what the Word of God alone can give them when men and women believe. This pure and simple confidence of believing in God's Word is never reasonable or sensible to the man who lives by and who believes in the senses realm. It's the believing of the integrity and accuracy of God's Word that gives the title deed to those things that senses man will never understand and to those things the senses man will never see. And boy, that's true. And that's where the big battle is. So oftentimes it's right in our brain. We got to get to the place where we adhere to what God's word says more than our senses, more than those things that surround us and beat us up or try to. Psalm 119. I would like to do a detailed study with you on the whole chapter tonight. I remember years ago we used to go witnessing in New Brunswick, and who can remember the name of that coffee shop? Was it Cafe 52, Tony Hunt? Thank you. But I remember, Tony, they had an open mic night where you could do poetry. Didn't you read Psalm 119? I have been lying for 20 years. Wow. Did anybody know who it was? Well, I guess nobody's come up and reproved me about Tony doing it. Maybe it was a dream. They were all, you know, no offense to Michael Young, who's a tremendous believer poet, whose second book has just come out. You can't buy it at the bookstore here, though, I don't think. Or Jesse, no offense. But, you know, Jesse used to get these, my son, you know, he'd get them published, and he'd send them to me to read. And what do you think, Pop? I have no idea. I'm clueless. I'm a roses are red, violets are blue guy. If it's not that, I'm lost. Somebody read Psalm 119, and it cleared the whole place out. It was awesome. I thought it was you, Tony. Do you know who it was, Tony? Have you ever heard this story told?
No.
Oh, man. That's good. How many of you fellow laborers ever heard me tell that story? Yeah, plenty, yeah. Well, I lied. It was all a bunch of baloney. Oh, well. 119th Psalm is very, very good. If you want to shut the crazy poets up, read this. They'll just disappear. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, unto thy word. Say, amen to that. That's how we change if we want to. You know, taking heed unto God's word. Take heed means to do, to observe to the end that you do, which is a really neat thing. says in verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Boy, that's something else. Help stamp out sin, disease or something, I don't know. But hiding God's word in our hearts really, really does help us when we get tempted. It really, really helps us when we get tempted in the areas of our lives that we're weak in. We refer to that word of God that we've hid in our hearts. And boy, you walk on that word. It wins. And if it wins, if God wins, you win. You know, we're in a battle. We're in a fight, which is already won by us. We're going to heaven. So this word of God is what makes us strong. Look at verse 28. It's what makes us strong. My soul melteth for heaviness. You get the heart of that, boy? Strengthen thou me according to thy what? Word. This word of God will show us what to say. It'll give us what to say. It'll give answers to us in our lives that we need so desperately. Look at verse 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. The answers will be there. The answers will be there if we hide this word in our hearts. When we're stressed out, God's word comforts us. Look at verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Look. We need to be compassionate people. There'll be times when people that you work with or believers that you fellowship with have a problem that doesn't seem like a big problem to you. But to them, it's a big problem. Don't blow them off. Help them with God's word. Read that verse to them. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. It's God's word. That'd be a beautiful thing to share to them. Don't belittle their problem. Who are you to say how severe that problem might be in a person's heart? We let the littlest things that 5 senses-wise look stupid bother us sometimes, and that's real. It's not fake. It's stuff that bothers us. Dang it. Don't be so religious that you say nothing bothers you. You're full of shit. Can I say full? All right. You're going to be the positive one, Mr. Positive, Mr. Happy, always right, never hurt, never bugged. Really? I don't think so. You live in the same place I live. It's a crud bucket. Look at verse 107. I behaved almost to the end. Verse 107. I'm afflicted very much. This is a man after God's own heart. And he actually said it. And not only did he say it, not only did he think it, but God told him to write it down in his word. But you never have a problem? Oh, just speak in tongues. I'll be fine. Well, that may be the answer. That's okay. But don't walk around like Patty Perfect. Okay? Please. Leave that at home. I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Man, oh man, amen to that. God's word not only helps us when we're stressed out and afflicted and stuff like that, but it gives us direction. Look at verse 105. 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It shows us the way we should go. God's way is always the right way. Sometimes it may take us a while to get to that place, but that's the goal we want to have. Do it God's way. It gives us direction. Verse 54, it also gives us deliverance. Verse 54, thy statutes, that's not what I want. Oh, 154, sorry. That one's good too. It says, plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Make me alive, Father. You could see how David just had such a wonderful relationship with God that he would ask him things. He would ask him for help because he needed help. We need help sometimes. It also gives us understanding, this word of God. Look at verse 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Give me understanding according to thy word. Go to Jeremiah chapter 15. To Jeremiah, God's word was the joy and rejoicing of his heart. And Jeremiah didn't have a very, what you'd call, happy time with life. Everybody was against Jeremiah. He's referred to as the weeping prophet. He had a rough time. He had a rough time with believers. He had a rough time with unbelievers. But he had a great time with God. Verse 16 says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. That was his joy. That was his rejoicing. Hebrews chapter 4. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 4. Verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This word of God is quick, it's alive, it is powerful, it's energetic, and it's a discerner, it's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Not you, not me, God's word. So how do we receive this? We faith cometh by hearing. We receive the engrafted word with meekness, right? We receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls, it says in James 1:21. In Titus 1:9, it says, holding forth or holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to exhort and convince the gainsayers. We hold God's word with great conviction in our hearts. Nobody messes with the word. They can mess with me. They can't mess with God's word. They could, you know, don't mess with God's word and don't mess with God's people. And that's a conviction you guys need to have. You need to fight for God's word. Quit fighting over everything else. That's a fight worth fighting the rest of your life. The fight of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ, the mystery. Jews and Gentiles, fellow heirs under the same body. I need you. You need me. We need each other. Let's fight for that. That's worth fighting for. And the doctrine of God's word is worth fighting for. Don't let anybody mess with the Bible. Anything else, great. You like the Pistons. I like the, you know, I don't know, the Nets. You know, Philippians 2:15 says, holding forth the word of life. That's what we do with it. Once we've received it with meekness, once we've held it with conviction, hidden it in our hearts, man, we share it with as many people as we can. And they'll see you before they see the word. So let them see a love person. Let them see somebody who has a genuine interest in their life and how they're doing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we're to live a life that's more than abundant, we got to hear God's word and got to believe it if we really want to live a life that's more than abundant. God's word is true because God is true, and he's the author. And he never lies. Numbers 23:19 says that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? That's a figure of speech. That's a question asked, already knowing the answer. It's a rhetorical type of question. And the answer is, he's never said anything that he wouldn't do. That's the answer. And then it says, and that which he said, shall he not make it good? So what's the downside? Everything God says is true. And that which he says is good. It's for our profit. It's for our benefit. Man, oh man. So as we approach God's word with meekness, we attend, we listen, we obey it. We believe it with a firm persuasion and conviction, confidence and trust. And as a result of God's love, grace, his mercy, his peace, his forgiveness, we get to see God's word come to pass in our lives. Thank you. Bless you. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your great word that you've given us. And thank you, Father, how it comes to pass as we listen to it, believe it. Pray for this night to be a wonderful night for people, that your word can be magnified in our lives and that you can be glorified. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Good night. Love you guys. You're the best.